Hello, everybody. Today is Wednesday, November 20th. I am Bill Murphy. I'm going to be here to read the New York Times and the Hartford Current, and we will take a look at the pictures on the front pages of each paper. The picture on the front page of the Times is a picture of some Ukrainian military cadets at the Motherland Monument in Kyiv, and it marked the 1,000th day since the war with Russia began. And the picture is a number of cadets who are standing under the monument, and it's kind of hard to tell what the monument is. It's kind of in a silhouette, but it looks like there's a torch in the left hand of whoever the monument is honoring. And it looks like there are candles. I'm not sure if there's 1,000 candles or not, but many candles in front of the cadets who are standing under the monument. And the other picture I have is, it's not going to be a story, is a picture of three Danish members of a band. And the name of the band is Michael Learns to Rock. And it says they're big in Asia. Their fame has boomed on the other side of the world. I guess they're Americans. I don't have a story on that. I don't believe. I may have time to read one. I'm not sure. And there's three members of the band standing on a stage, facing the camera, having their picture taken in the back, an auditorium filled with a lot of people that are there for the concert. So that's the Times. Over to the Hartford Current. And the big headline here is Reach for the Star. And again, I'll read the caption. The weather outside might get frightful as we head toward winter in Connecticut, but workers are clearly determined some things will remain delightful. And there are two pictures. Actually, they're the same. One is more of a close-up than the other. But there's a picture of a gentleman named Jim Ullum, U-L-L-O-M, and he is a Wallingford Public Works crew leader, and he's standing in a bucket truck as he puts the star on the top of the tree, a huge, beautiful tree that looks like it's not decorated yet, but they are putting the star on it. And it's going to be at Johanna Manfreda Fishbane Park in Wallingford. And it says the town is preparing for its annual tree lighting, which will take place on December 7th. And the other picture, as I mentioned, is just a close-up of Mr. Ulm putting the star on the top of the tree. So if you live down in the Wallingford area, December 7th is where they're going to have the annual tree lighting. So I'm going to start reading the New York Times. I have quite a few stories from the Times. When we get to the Connecticut section at the end of the broadcast, there are only two stories, so I'm going to cover more from the Times than I normally do. So we'll start with this one. It's on the front page from Kyiv, Ukraine. Ukraine's military used American-made ballistic missiles on Tuesday to strike into Russia for the first time, according to senior U.S. and Ukrainian officials, just days after President Biden gave permission to do so in a major shift of American policy. The pre-dawn attack struck an ammunition depot in the Bryansk region of southwestern Russia, Ukrainian officials said. Russia's Ministry of Defense said that Kyiv used six ballistic missiles known as ATACMS. It's all in capital letters. And I guess that stands for Army Tactical Missile System. A senior American official and a senior Ukrainian official who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss ongoing operations confirmed the use of the ATACMS. The strike represented a demonstration of force for Ukraine as it tries to show Western allies that providing more powerful and sophisticated weapons will pay off by degrading Russia's combat capabilities and relieving pressure on Kyiv's overstretched forces. The attack came on the same day. President Vladimir V. Putin lowered Russia's threshold for the use of nuclear weapons, a long-planned move whose timing appeared aimed at showing the Kremlin could respond aggressively to Ukraine's use of American missiles to strike Russian territory. The Kremlin has, throughout the war, used the threat of deploying its nuclear arsenal to try to deter the West from providing more robust military support to Ukraine. On Tuesday, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei V. Lavrov called Ukraine's use of ATACMS in the Bryansk region, quote, a signal that they want escalation, unquote. That was referring to the U.S. and Western allies. Ukrainian officials and military analysts who have long cautioned that no single weapon will charge the course of the war noted that the impact of the shift in White House policy would depend on how many missiles were supplied. President Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine had pleaded for months for permission to use the ATACMS to strike military targets inside Russia. The Biden administration finally relented and gave its assent, a decision that was driven in part by the addition of up to 10,000 North Korean troops to Moscow's war effort. The authorization came just 2 months before the return to office of President-elect Donald J. Trump, who has said he will seek a quick end to the war in Ukraine. His election has cast uncertainty over whether the U.S. will maintain the robust military support it has provided Ukraine under Mr. Biden, or whether Mr. Trump might take a different approach on policy toward Ukraine. On the battlefront, Russia is leveraging its advantage in air power, artillery, and personnel to melt through defensive lines in southeastern Ukraine. By taking aim at logistics centers like the one targeted on Tuesday, Ukraine hopes to make it harder to supply Russian forces engaged in relentless assaults. The Ukrainian military's high command, known as the General Staff, said that Tuesday's attack took place at 2:30 a.m., destroying warehouses with ammunition and setting off a dozen secondary explosions. And we go to another story that's on the front page of the New York Times. When he takes off oath of office in January, Donald J. Trump will make history as the first court-adjudicated sexual abuser to assume the presidency. But if he gets the team of his choice, he will not be the only one in the room whose conduct has been called into question. Mr. Trump, who was found liable in a civil trial last year of sexually abusing and defaming the writer E. Jean Carroll, has selected a defense secretary, an attorney general, a secretary of health and human services, and an efficiency czar, all of whom have been accused of various sexual misconduct. Like the president-elect, they all deny them. The rise of the accused to positions of power raises new questions about the future of the Me Too movement that swept through the country and upended social expectations in recent years. The kind of accusations that took down titans of Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, Washington, the news media, sports, and state capitals have proved no obstacle in Mr. Trump's selection process. Rather than be deterred by such allegations, Mr. Trump seems determined to force a fight over them. He knew that Matt Gaetz, the renegade Republican congressman, had been accused of all manner of sordid conduct, including sex with an underage girl, but tapped him to run the Justice Department anyway. He may not have known that Pete Hegseth, the Fox News weekend host he named to preside over the Pentagon, had paid a woman who accused him of sexual assault, but has indicated that he will stand by him. That's Trump standing by Hegseth. Likewise, Mr. Trump has expressed no concern about accusations that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his choice for the health department, groped a family babysitter, or that Elon Musk, tasked with reinventing government, created a sexual-charged workplace that treated women as objects. All of his nominees have denied intentional wrongdoing, and Mr. Trump, who has made a career of denying wrongdoing himself, appears to take them at their word. He still denies sexually assaulting Ms. Carroll in a department store dressing room in the 1990s, even though she has won two civil court judgments against him for $83.3 million. And he has said that more than two dozen other women who have accused him of sexual misconduct were all lying. It really feels like that's part of what makes his cabinet appealing to him, said Leigh Gilmore, the author of The Me Too Effect, What Happens When We Believe Women. And he's a professor emeritus at The Ohio State University. Credible accusations of sexual assault aren't a red line because those are a feature of Trump's own biography. Indeed, she said, Mr. Trump may be seeking out those who have been accused so he does not stand out. The more people he can surround himself with that are not in any way slowed down by their rise to power by these kinds of allegations, it normalizes his own behavior, Mr. Gilmore said. He's creating a worldview. He's shifting norms as he moves. Caroline Leavitt, the president-elect's pick for White House press secretary, defended Mr. Trump's selections. The nominees accused of sexual misconduct have vehemently denied the allegations, she said. Mr. Trump, she added, was elected to change the status quo and chose brilliant outsiders to help him. He will continue to stand behind them as they fight against all those who seek to derail the MAGA agenda. Mr. Trump's ascension comes as a delicate moment for the movement against sexual harassment amid a backlash from those who argue that it has gone too far in tarring some men without sufficient due process. Mr. Trump ran a campaign aimed at tapping into male grievance, punctuated by expressions of machismo and disdain for woke sensitivity. Hulk Hogan roared and ripped off his shirt at the Republican National Convention, while other surrogates mocked Democrats for not being able to define what a woman is in an era of transgender rights. Pro-Trump ads attacked Vice President Kamala Harris by declaring that, quote, Kamala's agenda is they, them, not you. J.D. Vance, Mr. Trump's running mate, defended comments he made denigrating childless cat ladies. Mr. Trump, who appointed three conservative justices critical to overturning Roe v. Wade, said he would protect women, whether the women like it or not. In this month's election, Mr. Trump won 55% of men, including 60% of white men, according to network exit polls. Ms. Harris won 53% of women overall, although 53% of white women voted for Mr. Trump. Some far-right voices have been emboldened by Mr. Trump's victory, and sexist attacks on women have proliferated online in the last couple weeks, according to one study. On election night, Nick Fuentes, a white supremacist who once had dinner with Mr. Trump at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, posted a message, "Your body, my choice, forever," that trended in the so-called manosphere, a takeoff of the abortion rights slogan, "My body, my choice." And now we are going to go to the weather. I have the national forecast from the New York Times, and then after a short break, we will have the local forecast. Here's the national forecast. Heavy rain is expected in northwestern California and southwestern Oregon today. Snow should accumulate at some higher elevations in the Cascade and Klamath Mountains, and also the higher terrain of northeastern Washington. A few snow showers are expected in eastern North and South Dakota and over much of Minnesota. There may be steady periodic snow near the border of North and South Dakota. Wind gusts over 40 miles per hour in the Dakotas and into southern Minnesota may produce whiteout conditions that may reduce visibility. In the middle Atlantic region, there may be showers in the morning and thunder showers in the afternoon that could produce damaging winds and small hail. And we will take a short break and be back with the local forecast. And here's the local forecast for today through Sunday night. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 59. Tonight, rain likely, mainly after 5 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 40. Thursday, rain, high near 50. Thursday night, rain, mainly before 2 a.m. The low will be around 35. Friday, rain likely, mainly after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy, with a high near 46. Friday night, rain likely, mainly before 11 p.m., mostly cloudy, with a low around 35. And for the weekend, Saturday is partly sunny with a high near 49. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 51. And partly cloudy Sunday night with a low around 35.